Chapter 1 Ashes to Ashes. As Willie slowly walked down the dark road to town, his thoughts drifted back to a better time, one filled with the warmth of his mom and dad sitting around the supper table with him. He could almost smell the hot apple pies or blackberry cobblers his mother often baked for dessert. No matter how exhausted his father was from working the land, he always smiled around Willie and his mother. It did not matter whether he had spent the day plowing the back 40 or clearing brush from yet another overgrown section of their 200 acres. His father always tried to keep the family spirit up. Willie was proud to be William Adam Miller, Jr. Willie's cot was in the half-loft over the main room, which served as both kitchen and living room. The house had little by way of furniture. As was the case with most of the local farmers, Willie's father had made all the pieces, the exception being Willie's mother's most prized possession, the old rocking chair that had once been her mother's. After supper, his mother often sat by the fireplace, humming softly as she darned a sock or mended a torn shirt. The old rocker made small creaking sounds as she gently rocked back and forth. Mr. Miller would sit by the window on his stool enjoying his evening pipe. This was their quiet time. Those pleasant memories were now the easiest to recall. The sharp bite of an unseen stone in the road against his bare foot brought reality painfully back into focus, as well as the purpose of this night's mission. One of his new chores was to go into town and fetch his drunken stepfather. Willie then led their old plow horse, Bessie, back to the farm, with his stepfather passed out in the saddle. In the comfort and safety of daylight, the trip to town would be an enjoyable stroll. On a dark, moonless night, however, even familiar things took on frightening shapes. A child's mind can make monsters out of almost anything. What usually started as a slow, dreaded, mile-long walk soon became a trot. Each menacing wind-blown shadow increased the level of Willie's fear until the result would be an anxious, all-out dead run. The thud of his own footsteps sounded as if someone or something was in hot pursuit and continued until he neared Worcesterville. The tavern was located on the far end of town. The inside of the tavern always had a funny smell. It was a mixture of fresh sawdust and stale cigar smoke, accompanied by the faint scent of cheap perfume. The upstairs had two bedrooms, where the two ladies of the evening slept and plied their trade. Sometimes Willie saw a candle burning in the attic, but he never gave the small light much thought. As he slowed his pace and caught his breath, Willie heard the sounds of laughter coming from the tavern. He edged to a window and looked inside. Seated in the corner table was his new stepfather, drunk as usual. One of the ladies was perched on his knee, laughing at something Jesse had whispered in her ear. He had one hand around a half-empty glass of whiskey, while the other was holding the woman tightly around her waist. She had once been a rather attractive woman, although her face now had many acne scars, the result of her overuse of cheap makeup. Her eyes had the dull look of too much drink as well. She and the bright red satin dress that clung to her rather generous bosom had both seen better days. The heels of her once expensive shoes also showed the wear of too many trips upstairs. The tavern owner was a big, red-faced Irishman called Big Mike. He had tossed many a drunk out the front door. A jagged scar ran down Mike's right cheek from a confrontation with a knife-welding farmer. Some say he broke the man's back. The big Irishman was standing behind the rough oak bar, conversing loudly with a couple farmers and one of the townsfolk. The other lady of the house sat at a table in the middle of the room playing poker with three men. One of the card players was Mr. Anderson, the town blacksmith. The nature of his chosen profession had given Mr. Anderson arms twice the size of other men's. Willie's mother had sent him into town to stay with the Anderson family when his father had gotten sick and started running a high fever. She remained by his father's bed day and night until his death. Mr. Anderson had helped bury Mr. Miller on the knoll behind the house. They could not give Willie's father a proper funeral. Everyone else feared catching whatever had caused his death. Willie remembered how frail his mother had looked when she finally sent for him. At the graveside, Mr. Anderson had spoken a verse from the Bible, but Willie was crying too hard to hear what all he said. The boy recalled something about
ashes to ashes,
but his bawling had drowned out the rest of what Mr. Anderson was saying. Until that afternoon, Willie did not know his heart could hurt so bad and still go on beating. Although she tried to be strong for her son in the daytime, he often heard her weeping at night. Her sadness made Willie cry, too. She had told him repeatedly that his father's dying wish was for them to keep the farm going. His parents had carved it out of the wilderness with little more than their bare hands and a sharp axe. It was their home, and she was going to do whatever she had to do to keep it. Her determination to keep the farm was what brought Jesse Tate into their life. Willie's mom had met Jesse at the general store, where he had helped her load a wagon. He appeared to be a hard worker at the time, and he treated her kindly. The fact that he was in bad shape financially should have alerted her to Jesse's intentions. A young widow with land and only one child would be a fine prize for a part-time farmhand. Therefore, after a brief courtship of picnics, along with the occasional church social, he asked her to marry him. Mrs. Miller, knowing that she and her young son could not continue running the farm, accepted his proposal. With a grown man to help, they should be able to continue what Willie's father had started. Once they cleared a few more acres, the farm should start to show a little profit. Willie did not want Jesse Tate in their life, nor had he any say in the matter. His mother had simply introduced him to Willie a few months after his father's death, and informed him that she and Mr. Tate were to be married. Willie protested this union strongly, but she assured him that it was for the best. They had to have help, or they would surely lose a farm. With no money to hire a hand, this was their only hope. She also told him that he was to mind Mr. Tate and not cause any trouble. His father would have expected that from him. Therefore, Willie decided that if the marriage eased his mother's suffering and helped protect all that his parents had worked for, he would try to accept Jesse. Willie was still concerned because they knew so little about Mr. Tate. All Willie knew was that Jesse occasionally worked as a hard hand for farmers around the county, but he had not lasted long at those jobs, probably because of his drinking. He had seen Jesse once or twice around town, but had not paid him much mind, never dreaming that he would end up living under their roof. Jesse had spent most of his days hanging around in front of the tavern, trying to get someone to hire him, or at least buy him a drink. It soon became evident that working was not Jesse's favorite activity. He worked hard when he and Willie's mother first married, clearing a little brush and fixing a section of fence. However, a month after the wedding, when no one was around, he claimed he hurt his back while working in the barn. He took to his bed for 2 weeks, moaning as if run over by a wagon. He claimed that whiskey was the only thing that made his pain bearable. From that day forward, Willie and his mother had to do all the work. If Willie's mom asked Jesse to do anything around the farm, he would say angrily,
"Have your lazy boy do it. You know my back hurts."
Willie never understood why his mother put up with Jesse. The man was nothing to look at. and he never offered a kind word to either of them. When his father was alive, he always hugged Willie and his mother, or at least patted Willie on the head. The closest thing to a pat on the head from Jesse was the back of his hand across Willie's face, which he did with little provocation or warning. A slow response to any of Jesse's demands, or the slightest disrespectful glance in his direction, could bring on his wrath. For someone with a bad back, he could hit hard. Jesse seemed to enjoy mistreating them. More than once, when Willie picked Jesse up from one of his drunken excursions to town, his face would bear the marks of another patron's bad temper. Apparently, Jesse did not fare so well when his opponent was a grown man. Willie enjoyed those times, and only wished that he had been the one giving Jesse the beating. Willie wanted him to suffer the way he made them suffer. Willie sat outside the tavern for what seemed hours, before he dared chance another quick look inside. The night air cooled his damp clothes. A chill shuddered through his body. Willie wished Jesse would get his fill of liquor soon, so that he might get back to bed. Willie needed all the sleep he could get to make it through another grueling day of doing Jesse's share of the work. When Willie looked about the tavern's smoky interior, Jesse was nowhere in sight. He had not come outside because Willie would have heard the tavern's door creak. That left only the upstairs. He also noticed that the woman who had been at Jesse's side earlier was gone. He had heard the men in the tavern call her Sophie. As he started to set back down, Willie heard his stepfather's angry voice coming from the open upstairs window.
You'll get your damn money just as soon as I sell the farm.
Well, I better. This ain't no charity operation. You are built up a pretty damn big tab.
You'll get your money soon enough. I have a man coming next week. We done already agreed on a price.
It better happen soon, because Big Mike wants your bar bill paid, and he's going to take it out of your worthless eyes.
Everyone will be paid next week. My buyer's bringing cash money, you'll see. Then we can have us some real fun. Just you and me, baby.
What about that new wife you got yourself? She ain't going to just up and give you her farm. She don't strike me as being that big of a fool.
She won't be around to be any problem. I'm pretty sure she and that brat of hers are going to get bad sick and die sudden-like.
Don't tell me any more details. I don't want to know nothing. You just better have our damn money soon.
You and Mike will get your money. Every last damn nickel. Now how about letting me have one more ride? You can just add it to my bill.
Make it fast. I need a damn drink.
Willie's mother had always told him that when her time came, she wanted laid to rest next to his father. Now this lazy, drunken bastard was talking about doing away with both the farm and them. Willie had to stop that from happening somehow. He was not certain what to do. No one would take the word of a kid over an adult. If he told someone what he had overheard, Jesse could say it was just the whiskey talking. People often say things they don't mean when under the influence of alcohol. He could just laugh it off, and Willie would get the beating of his life for causing Jesse any sort of embarrassment. Still, Willie knew that Jesse meant to kill them both before the man got there to buy the farm. Willie had to act first and fast. He would be no match for him sober. His only hope would be for Jesse to be passed out drunk. Once he lost consciousness, Willie could take Jesse's life before he had the chance to take theirs. Willie's stomach tightened into a hard knot. Murder was a heady thing for a child to ponder. Willie sat in the dark, waiting and thinking.
Drink up, old man. This is going to be your last celebration.